Welcome to the October 29th edition of the Go Fast and Win podcast, powered by the Sharp Plays and TSP.live. Well, folks, we did not win the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the year last week, as Cleveland just sucked something fierce. After keeping that game tight in the first half, they just let the doors get blown open in the second half. And it really was sort of the theme of the week last week when it came to the NFL, where favorites only had two losses against the spread. 10-2 ATS last week for favorites. So it definitely wasn't the week to be on a dog. Hopefully we'll get some dog progression in the weeks ahead, because right now, the last 2 weeks at least, the public has been killing it in these markets in the NFL, especially a little bit in college football, but mostly in the NFL. With that, for the recap on last week, what I'm going to get into this week is discussing strategy and a wager type to use for a cold run. Some of you know what I'll be talking about, but I'll get deeper into my strategy for it. I'll also go over the Ole Miss and South Carolina game. I will have another My Handicapping Game of the Week of the year this week. Those are 2-4 on the season. I've never had a losing season. I don't plan on this being a losing season, so it's time to get on a run. Let's hope it starts with this week. And I will close out with a My Two Cents mini rant that'll hopefully cover some interesting topics, or at least topics that people bring up all the time. So it's a way to address it in one big swipe. And that'll be the episode for today. So without further delay, let's get into things. All right. So for this week's commentary, the past couple weeks I've been talking about cold runs and what to expect and how every cold run leads to a hot run and minimizing losses, maximizing wins, all the basic tenets of what to do in a cold run, how to identify it, how to operate. I've also discussed things to change your mental perspective in a cold run with the streak breaker. I've discussed meditation. I've discussed other ways to keep your mind and your body operating at peak performance, because when they're operating at peak performance, you're seeing the games, you're analyzing things in the best way possible using all your tools. It's like anything else. If you go into something and you're half asleep, the work is probably not going to be as good as if you were wide awake, fully energized, and ready to dive in. And that's what happens in a cold streak. Your brain kind of gets in that negative mindset. You start looking at things negatively with a negative energy, and it really does carry over into your picks. So I won't go down that road. That was something I discussed the last 2 weeks. If you missed it, feel free to check those podcast episodes out. They cover it pretty much in full. But what I'm going to get into this week, which goes with the topic of the losing streaks and cold runs, is what I've been talking about lately. And that's going to be, what type of wagering do you engage in? Are there any strategies that I use, any tools that I use? And anyone who's a TSP Live subscriber knows exactly where I'm going right now. And that's to say, my favorite weapon in a cold streak is the rollover. And to me, it gives you a lot of flexibility. First of all, it's a low-risk wager. I mean, technically, you could start a rollover with 10 units. I wouldn't advise it, because at a certain point, depending on your unit size, you're going to max out what you can actually get down. So for the most part, rollovers, at least at the sharp place, start with a 1% or one unit initial risk or less. Most of them start with, in the case of the one that I started today, it's 0.25% of your bankroll. For those who use units versus percentage, it would be 0.25 units of your bankroll on a three-leg parlay for today on Wednesday. If that parlay hits, it'll pay off 1.53% or 1.53 units of profit. And then the rollover would be, you take the risk and the winnings and roll it onto the next wager. Now, when I talk about rollovers, a lot of people will say, well, my book doesn't offer rollovers, but every sports book does, because it's not a wager you need to set up with them. It's simply taking the risk of one wager and the profit off of that wager and rolling it into the next wager. So it can really work with anything. You could have a rollover in craps. Now, there's no bet on the table that's a rollover, but you would simply put, $50 on the field, and let's say the guy rolls a two and you're getting double your money. So now your field bet paid off. If you had $50 there, you got $100 of profit. So you have 50 initial risk, 100 of profit, and you decide, I'm going to play the field again as a rollover. Now your next bet is $150 on the field. Works the same in blackjack. You do a hand of blackjack for $100. The hand wins. You get paid $100. Now the next hand, you bet $200, which is the $100 of risk and the $100 of profit from the previous hand that you played. A rollover in sports betting is no different. The actual wagers could be straight bets. They could be parlays. They could be teasers. They could be futures. They could be anything that you can bet on. It can be horse racing. You could put, you know, $100 on a horse to win the race and he pays 2-1. So you get $200 of profit plus your initial $100 back. Now you take that $300 and you place it on another horse bet, or you place it on a hand of blackjack. So now you got $300 on the hand of blackjack. It wins. You have $600 off the table. $500 is profit. $100 is the initial money that you put on the horse race. Now you have that $600 from the winning the hand of blackjack, and now you go and you take that $600 and you put it on Tampa Bay plus +5 at even money, and that bet wins. Now you have $1,200. So your rollover crossed over all sorts of levels of gambling. It was a horse racing, a hand of blackjack, a sports bet, and in the end you have $1,200, of which $1,100 is profit. That other $100 is the initial wager that you put down on the horse race that started this whole progression through horse racing, blackjack, and sports betting. That is all a rollover is. So hopefully you got the point of a rollover at this point. Going back to how I use this in a strategy for cold betting or for cold streaks, I like the rollover because risk is very low. Now, when it's cold, you know, I'd say 90% of the audience gets it, 95% of the audience gets it. But, you know, people are like, oh my God, we haven't won. It's been like 7 days. We just lose. If you're losing a 0.25% or 0.25 unit parlay over 7 days, that's 1.75% of your bankroll. That's 1.75 units. And that's over 7 days. For me, my average wager is one unit, as is the case with most gamblers. You have a standard one-unit wager. That is your average risk. Mine is one unit. So I'm not going to sweat losing 1.75% or 1.75 units over a seven-day period. And that's the point of these wagers. In a cold run, the goal is simple. You just want to survive. Now, you know, one of the tough things that I do with the sharp plays is because TSP Live is a subscription, it's very difficult to say, you know, folks, it's a cold run now. We're going to pass for the next 12 days. Nobody wants that. And what a pain in the ass it is from a subscription standpoint. People go, well, I'm not getting any content. I should get a refund for these days. And I get that. That makes sense. But I don't want to play that game because it's a pain in the ass from an accounting standpoint. Now, instead of actually putting out sports content, the sharp plays becomes an accounting business, having to, 2 days, you get a credit of this, no, forget it. So I realize that there is a component to TSP Live, and you have to walk that line of professional betting and recreational betting. And the way to do that is through these rollovers because it's such low risk. So even on a day where you might pass, passing is 0% risk, zero units. These bets are 0.25 units. It really doesn't get much lower, I guess, is my point, and why I'm happy to engage in rollovers during a cold run. Because again, the goal of a cold run is to survive it so that you get to the next hot run. There was a cold run in August. You're like, oh my God, it's so cold. We never won any bets, blah, blah. At the end of August, it got hot again, and that carried through to the first week of October. And it was a beautiful hot run, cashed everything, made a fortune. Great. Then, of course, eventually, it's going to give way to a cold run because TSP Live Radar through the first week of October was hitting 68% on its games. 68%. It's not going to finish the season at 68% over 200-300 games that'll be compiled in the TSP Live Radar at that point. So you know a regression is coming. As much as you don't want to accept that, you know it's coming. When Hermes is banging out 15% profit in a single month, or TSP Portfolio, given its more passive style, is cranking out 11% of a bankroll gain in a given month, you know a little regression is coming. And that is really the thing that people have to accept. Once you do accept that, you know that regression is coming and you start to see those initial down days, then it's time to transition your wagering over to, you know, tight betting, low risk. And for me, once again, the best option for that is the rollover wager. And here's how it works specifically to sports betting and specifically to how the sharp plays does it. The way that we do it is taking that 0.25% units of risk in the case of today's parlay, hopefully cashing the parlay and getting 1.53% of profit back. That gives us 1.78% or 1.78 units of total bankroll. Rollover, not obviously total bankroll as a whole. If that's the case, you have a real problem, and I don't have time to get into that right now. Just know, stop gambling. But the rollover bank, which is the money that's built up in the rollover that we're using to attack subsequent wagers, is 1.78% in this example. 0.25% initial risk, 1.53% profit, 1.78% total is ready to roll on the next wager. A lot of times what I will do in a cold run, though, is after the first leg, I will take out that initial risk. Now, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I will leave the initial risk in if things are going hot and we're just killing it. Why not? Just maximize that leverage. But in the case of a cold run, I love getting a free roll on my rollover. So if the parlay today on Wednesday comes through, I'll take out that 0.25% initial risk from the rollover bank, and I'll just roll the 1.53% or 1.53 units of profit that we got out of the parlay onto the next wager. That way, if the next wager loses, it's a free roll. Nothing, you know, no harm to the bankroll. If the next wager wins, well, now we're really talking, because this is where the rollover picks up steam and how a rollover of just two or three legs can recover all the losses from a losing streak. For example, let's assume this parlay on Wednesday wins. We will have that 1.53 units of profit. Now we're going to take that 1.53 units of profit. We've already got rid of the initial risk from, you know, that opened the parlay. So now we're on our free roll, and we're going to put that on a straight bet on Thursday or Friday, or maybe even wait till Saturday until a nice high quality angle comes up. And we're going to attack that high quality angle with 1.53%, 1.53 units of risk. And let's just assume it's a standard spread bet, minus 110. That 1.53% is going to win 1.39% or 1.39 units. So now it's a rollover. We combine what we risked, 1.53%, and what we won, 1.39%. And now we have a rollover bank of 2.92%. There is zero bankroll risk to this because we've taken out our initial risk back when the parlay hit. We took out the 0.25%. So if this wager loses at this point, it has no effect on the portfolio performance. But we have 2.92 units sitting there ready to attack another wager. And this is where the rollover gets fun. Yes, there are times you roll that 2.92% and you don't win and you go, shit, I should have just banked the 2.92%. But more often than not, and that's why we do it, you get that next wager. Maybe it's 55% of the time. That's a healthy percentage of time, and that means you are really printing money on rollovers when you can hit your third leg at that level. And since the sharp plays content hits 55 to 57%, depending on the content, that's kind of what we're playing with, and that's why we make a fortune on the rollovers, as all the data will show you. Go to thesharpplays.com, check the records and logs. It's all right there. You can see that rollovers are the most profitable wager for TSP portfolio and have the highest ROI. So with that being said, now we've got that 2.92%. Cash the parlay, cash a straight bet, 2.92%, 2.92 units in our rollover bank. Now we go for one more wager. Something good comes up on Sunday. We say, all right, we're going to roll it here. We bet a spread, minus 110 again on the VIG. That 2.92%, 2.92 units is going to pay 2.65% or 2.65 units of profit. And let's assume that wager hits. So now we cashed a little three-team parlay for 0.25%. We rolled our profits onto a straight bet, and we rolled our profits and risk there onto another straight bet. So it's basically three wagers, a parlay, a straight bet, and a straight bet. If we can connect on those, it brings in 5.57% of profit or 5.57 units of profit. The past 24 days of this cold run, TSP portfolio, because of that cold run, is down 5.11% in October. So 24 days of a drawdown has put October at minus 5.11% for TSP portfolio. If you can connect on this rollover, you clear that entire drawdown of 24 days in a simple three-leg rollover. Yes, you don't hit 100% of your three-leg rollovers, of course, but we hit more than we lose, and that's why these are profitable wagers, and that's why these work very, very well in cold streaks. Because now, let's say we do connect on this, and that play on Sunday connects, and we have the 5.57% of profit. We've erased the cold run, and we have 0.46% or 0.46 units of profit on top, which doesn't sound like a lot because it really isn't a lot. But what is a lot is the fact that over just three wagers, you completely erased October's loss and are back in the profit. And that's how the grind goes. And that's how this business continues to move forward. And that's how you perform as a professional gambler, is you're constantly just grinding. You're losing, you're winning, but you're winning a little more than you lose. And by the end of the year, there's a profit. It's never easy. It's never simple. Losses do not come when it's convenient, because it's rarely ever convenient to lose. So you have to be ready for these things. You have to be ready for the fluctuations. You have to have the tools that will help you get out of the cold. And what we've noticed is more often than not, when there's a turn coming from a cold run into a hot run, that initial 2 or 3 day period tends to be very, very hot. And that's why the rollover works, because you're hitting at a very high percentage. Perhaps even all the plays you put out, you're hitting, because that initial hot run and a rollover works beautifully, gets the losses back. And now you're right there, 3 days, maybe 4 days into the next hot run, and you've already erased the last cold run. And now you're ready to build profits on top. And that's how the game is played, over and over and over again. And if I could get people to understand this, what I've discussed in the last two episodes, along with this episode of how you can get out of the cold and get those profits back quickly, if people could accept that, maybe they wouldn't be as emotional in cold runs. When a cold run comes, I hate it. It sucks. I want to fast forward to the next hot run, but I can't fast forward time yet. Just like I can't rewind time, can't fast forward. So I have to sit there and I have to just survive every day until the hot run comes. Yes, it would be easy to just sit there and send out an alert and go, there's really nothing today. We're in a cold run. Let's not bet. That kind of doesn't work with the content. It doesn't work with the audience. So we use a strategy that does work and is very low risk. Because if you go 10 days of losing 0.25%, 0.25 unit wagers, it's 2.5 units. That's two standard wagers. Standard wager, 1.1% to win 1%, 1.1 units to win 1 unit. So these things should not be massive concerning losses. It should not create some sort of mental issue in you. These are small wagers that get leveraged to return a big profit and are set up in a way that we're trying to do them to catch the turn. Hopefully that white hot run makes it easy. Now we cash this. We're up 0.46% after erasing all the losses from the previous cold run. And now hopefully the hot run has more legs. So not only did we erase the last cold run and put a profit on top, now we're still ready to add more and more profits on top moving forward. That's how it's worked every time in the past. That's how it will work this time. I can't fast forward you to December, January, February, March to show you. But as always, every cold run gets erased. So be patient. Bet smart. Rollovers, my favorite wager for this sort of situation. So with all that now said, let's get into the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year. And of course, I'll continue with what I've been doing, covering the Ole Miss football action each week to give you my perspective on the game. I'll start with the Ole Miss game. So Ole Miss is playing South Carolina this week. The line opened at 13.5, is down to 12.5. Now, a lot of books have moved at that, but at the two books that I can peek in at least, I am not seeing any major sharp action on South Carolina. There is small initial buying at the 13.5, but it is relatively small and at lower limits. It's basically jumped on this one as the market opens. So you're talking very low limit action here, which makes it a tough read. A lot of people say, why don't I jump on wagers early on in the week? And instead I wait, you know, typically sometimes even minutes before a game before getting on a wager. A lot of those times, yeah, I don't get the best price because of it. But by putting myself on very quality angles and situations and setups, even by not getting the best price, we still win at an outrageously high percentage. 55 to 57% and rarely getting CLV is as impressive as it gets. It's something I love about the sharp plays. It just illustrates that we are getting on the right angles. If you can win at that high percentage and get some of the worst prices available for your wagers. So anyways, I'll put that aside. But the goal is just to point out there is sharp money on South Carolina, but I'm not getting overly concerned yet because it is low limit action. If it comes on late, that's a different story. So that means I'm all in on Ole Miss, right? No, I am not all in on Ole Miss. My concern is Ole Miss tends to play down to their opponents. So after a big win, like we saw with LSU a couple weeks back, at the time it was a big win. Looking back, LSU doesn't look that special, but at the time it was a big win for Ole Miss to beat LSU. They then went into a bye week. When they came out of that bye week, they almost lost to Washington State. And it was a game which Washington State was winning outright at certain points and, you know, got an easy cover in the end. I had concerns about Ole Miss starting that game out of the gate slowly because of the week off and the high from the LSU win. We're kind of getting the same thing here where Ole Miss just beat Oklahoma at Oklahoma, now coming home. That could lead them to a little bit of a letdown spot. But I think because of that Washington State experience earlier in the season, which really pissed off Kiffin and got him fired up at his players for how shitty they played in that game and how like zombies they were out on the field, I don't think it'll happen again here. I think, you know, he is a quality coach. I think he will have the team primed. I think he will give them a good wake-up call to basically say, remember that shit you pulled against Washington State? We're not going to do it here against South Carolina. So that kind of pushes me to Ole Miss in this case. Now, the issue that I do have, though, is that, you know, there's still a concern that they could play down to their opponent. The 12.5, though, if Ole Miss wants to blow it open, it's not even going to come into play. Lane Kiffin is one of those coaches, like many nowadays, who see that a win and a cover helps them get a little more money for the athletic fund at the end of the week. We can all say this is an unwritten thing in college football, but we've seen it week after week with a variety of teams. There used to be a couple coaches like Kiffin. Nobody else is coming to mind, and I don't want to have dead space here, but there are others that I recall in the past playing, especially when they were at home, to get a cover because they would do everything they could to get that cover. And this was before NIL. Now that we have NIL and money plays the game, we're starting to see an unwritten thing where coaches go out to cover. The best example, we had it as a TSP live game 2 weeks ago, Michigan State plus the points over Indiana. Indiana goes down with like a minute something left to go. They're blowing out Michigan State and they kick a field goal. Why? Well, that field goal had them covering. They definitely didn't need it to win the game. The game was long over. Why kick a field goal? Why not just knee it down, give Indiana the ball? Worst case, they get a touchdown. Who cares? The only way you care is if you're trying to cover and you're trying to cover for your alumni. And so then they kick that field goal, they're covering, and what does Michigan State do? They go down the field. Now they're getting blown out. Why not just keep trying for a touchdown or let the clock run out? No, they go down the field and they kick a field goal. So now they're covering again at the end. That's how the game ends. Michigan State gets the cover. You can't tell me there was some sort of strategy to both of these teams kicking field goals with less than a minute to go in a game that was long over. So anyways, that's my little my two cents mini rant when talking about this game. So I, you know, Kiffin loves to cover. I think he'll want to cover in this game. I think he'll want to blow South Carolina out because he doesn't want a close game. He doesn't want another, you know, game that plays out like Washington State. On the other side, just when it comes to South Carolina, I've given you a lot about Ole Miss. South Carolina just played a tough game against Alabama. They should have won that game. They were at home. They were winning. They let it go late. Alabama gets the win. South Carolina gets the cover, but that can create a letdown there. Now you have this letdown against Alabama in a game you were winning. Mentally, that throws you off. We've talked about the mental game in sports betting for the past couple weeks, so I won't get on it here. But now you have to travel to Ole Miss. It's going to be a tough environment. Ole Miss is calling for everybody to show up this week, make the vault loud, get it going. And if I've got to place a wager, I would probably take Ole Miss minus the 12.5. Now, I don't always pick Ole Miss every week. As many of you know, I kind of either stay away or bet on them. This week, I do lean Ole Miss. However, I'm not making any material wager right now. If you're forcing me to say what I'm going to take, I'm going to take Ole Miss, but I'd rather wait and see what the late action comes up. If late money starts hammering South Carolina, I will definitely stay away. You know, I'm not eager to bet Ole Miss just because. So I'm going to look and see how it goes, but if you're asking me for a lean at this point in the week, Ole Miss is it. Now let's jump over to the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year. It was a massive week for favorites this past week in the NFL. 10-2 ATS favorites got home. So where am I going to go this week? Correct. A favorite. I'm going to take Houston -1.5 over Denver. Yes, I would like to play regression of favorites, and I think that will come. There's a ton of book needs on the Hermes AI table in TSP Live for the NFL. So this is one of those weeks that if the books hope to hold the line, they got to cash some of these book needs. So I think that, you know, there will be some dog progression this week. But just because favorites were so hot last week doesn't mean, you know, it's going to be 2-10 for favorites this week, ATS. So I think there is one favorite that I see, and it's actually opposite the public. The public is all over Denver, so that kind of puts me in a situation where it's not a dog, but it is an anti-public play as well. Houston has started to get it the past couple weeks. It's been a good progression, and I see a lot of people crowning Denver like, oh, this is the Denver team we finally came to expect. They come back big against the Giants. They played good last week. Finally, Denver's here. And in the NFL, it's never the case. And I think now that people are on board of Denver's finally here is the week that Denver then slips up. I think the momentum that's been building in Houston to sort of see the talent get to be what it can be, which really wasn't the case the rest of the season, is there. I think they step up this week. I think it's going to be a close game, so it's hardly going to be a blowout that we can sit back and get a rocking chair win in the first quarter. But I think in the end, Houston's going to squeak it out. So that's Houston -1.5. Over Denver in the NFL as the My Handicapping Game of the Week of the Year for this week. Let's get that run going. Time to get on the positive side, get that record into the green, and then get running from that point on out. Last but not least, let's get into my two cents for this week's episode. And I'm going to ask you a question to start this one off. If I said you give me $875, and in return, I'll give you $2,100 back, would you take that deal? And how often? I think most people would say, anytime I offered that deal, you would take me up on it. You would give me the $875, and I would give you back $2,100. In the end, you're getting $1,225 of profit for doing nothing but giving me money and waiting to get it back. And that's basically how TSP Insiders works, and that's how TSP Live works. And where am I going with all this? Well, you know, every week I sometimes struggle to find content for what I would do for the My Two Cents, which is sometimes why the rant isn't there. I don't want to just put out shit if I have nothing to talk about, but oh, I better do something. So, but occasionally, sometimes during the week, and in this case, right before I was ready to do the podcast, a message or a tidbit comes in and I go, oh, that would make for a great topic. And in this case, it was someone sending a message and saying, boy, after a losing October, what a kick to the nuts to see that November is back to full price. Well, November isn't back to full price. It's always at full price. Every month is the same because when we have a massive winning month like September, October then doesn't cost you $1,200 to be a subscriber because we make up for it because of how amazing the previous month was. Just like that, we don't lower the prices because of how poor the previous month was. It's just how the business goes, because in the end, there are more winning months than losing months. So if you're in this for the long term, you really don't sweat the losing months that you pay for, because there are far fewer losing months than there are winning months. And the winning months always exceed the losing months, which is why we have a profit at the end of the year. So the price for TSP Live is based on what the cost is for an entire year per person divided by 12. You could prepay it for a discount, or you could pay monthly for that subscription, because sports gambling is a long-term thing. You should not get into a subscription based on, well, I'm going to buy this week, and if it wins, I'll buy next week. Awful way to go. Not whether it's TSP Live or anything else. That's an awful way to go because you have no long-term approach, and you have to have a long-term approach when it comes to gambling. Same thing with month-to-month subscriptions. You can't go, oh, I had a losing month, so it's not worth it and whatever. If you feel that way, fine, don't subscribe. But you have to look at it as this is a long-term approach. I'm going to pay for winners and I'm going to pay for losers, but I'm going to get more winners than I get for losers, and that's how I'm going to make my money. And where I was going with the initial question for the My Two Cents rant of, if you give me $875 and I give you back $2,100, would you take it? And of course, the answer for, you know, there'll be some idiots who just want to say no, but most people with any level of intelligence would say, yes, I will gladly give you $850 if you will immediately give me back $2,100, because I'm going to make $1,225 every time on that deal. Where does that come into play? TSP Insiders. TSP Insiders have a very healthy ROI. Anything above 5% in professional gambling is considered elite, exceptional, and TSP Insiders have that level of performance. Tony has an 8.4% return on risk. Yes, he's got winning streaks. He's got a shitload of cold streaks, shitload of winning streaks. In the end, though, he wins, and he has an 8.4% ROI, which is incredible. That is the return on every dollar. So for every dollar you bet on Tony's selections, you're getting 8.4 cents of profit back. How's Wolf doing as our other TSP insider? Wolf has an impressive 9.5% return on risk, meaning you get a dime, basically, for every dollar you bet on his plays back in profit. So how does this all shake out? Well, so far, since TSP Insiders launched last September, there have been 309 selections. Of those 309 selections released between Tony and Wolf and a couple from Dan, 57.3% is the win percentage. Wolf and Tony are hitting 57.3% combined. That is better than Billy Walters, who says he hit 57%. So there's a value, there's a cost to this sort of thing. We don't get into any sort of, well, Wolf won this one and that should be this and that. There's plenty of free content that goes out with TSP Insiders to, you know, make up for anything that loses as a paid play or whatever else. But people want access to this information. They want these selections. But that also means there are going to be times that you pay $34.99 for a TSP Insiders play and it loses. And $34.99 for another TSP Insiders play and it loses. And you do that for 6, 7, 8 games straight and it keeps losing. You go, what the fuck am I paying for? I just lost 8 bets and paid $34.99 for each of them. What you're paying for is the eventual regression that comes too. Because there's going to be 0-8 runs, and there's going to be 8-0 runs, and there's going to be 12-2 runs, and there's going to be 2-12 runs. And in the end, there's going to be a couple more of the good runs against the bad runs, and that's where the profit is ground. So if Wolf has an 0-8 run and then follows that up with a 12-0 run, he's 12-8 over 20 plays. If you're betting $1,000 on those games, you're netting around $4,000. The 12 wins minus the 8 losses. Sure, there's some vig, but sometimes he takes plus money. So, you know, we'll just, for easy math, say it's a 4-unit net profit there instead of a probably 3.2 if we're talking minus 110. So whatever, 3-4 units, doesn't matter. It's a profit. And the way that you have to look at that is, yes, you paid for an 0-8 run, but you also then paid for the 12-0 run, and over 20 plays, you spent $700. But if you're a $500 bettor, those 4 games, or even the 3 games, you want to go down and say, okay, it was just 3.2 units of net profit, those 3 games is a $500 bettor is $1,600 of profit. So you paid Wolf $700, and in return, he gave you $1,600. You made $900 for doing nothing other than buying Wolf's play and putting in the bet. And in that process, though, you had to pay $35 for that 0-8 run every single selection. And you also paid $35 for the 12-0 run every single selection. And in the end, you made a profit. And that's how the math works here. There's no other way around it. It unfortunately is the nature of the beast. Because if we did some sort of pricing where I said, okay, you don't pay when Wolf loses, but when he wins, then I have to collect the money. It's impossible to collect money from gamblers. That is almost a comedy in and of itself. Collecting money from gamblers. I could make a show about it. So that's the way the math works, and that's why the pricing is the way it is, and that's why things are set up the way they are. Because in the end, the cream will rise to the top. The profits will be there if you hold out. If you can't hold out, don't buy it. If you can't consistently commit yourself to spending a year with TSP Live, don't buy 1 week, don't buy 1 month. If you can't commit to the long-term period that you need to properly handle the content and make a process. I can't guarantee you that next month's going to be profitable. I can't guarantee you the month after that's going to be profitable. But I'm pretty confident that the next year is going to be profitable. Why? Because since the Sharp Plays launched in 2011, the content has won every single year, and it's not even close. The worst year was a 60% bankroll growth for 60 units. That's the worst year in 15 years. So I am quite confident that definitely 2025 is going to be a winner no matter what happens the rest of this year. And I'm quite confident 2026 is going to be a winner too. But in there, there's going to be a lot of shitty days, a lot of shitty weeks, and probably some shitty months in there too. So can you commit yourself to the year that it takes to turn the profit? If you can't, and if you don't want to, and if you're not willing to pay for a losing month, don't get involved. You're just going to torture yourself. And the same goes for TSP Insiders. Yes, it sucks to go 0-8 and pay $35 for every one of those fucking losers. But in the end, if you're going to stick to it and you believe that Wolf and Tony's 309 bets where they hit 57.3% winners, and both of which have an 8.4% and a 9.5% return on risk respectively, which is fucking through the roof for this business, unless you expect they're just going to lose from here on out and never win again, you're going to turn a profit consistently purchasing TSP Insider selections. Now, I realize that this comes off as a sales speech for TSP Insiders, but that's really not the goal. It's kind of an indirect effect of this discussion, but the real goal of this for the My Two Cents is either you commit yourself to the long-term approach and everything that is in, you know, that takes, that's entailed there, or you don't. That's your choice. You don't get it both ways, though. You can't be short-term and want this and that and the other thing, because that's not how gambling works. That's not how I work. It's long-term approach. So you commit yourself to the long-term. If you want to commit yourself to long-term, you are going to love the sharp plays as countless subscribers do. I mean, our returning subscription base is incredible. There are so many people left from 2019's Robin Hood Club, and that was one of the worst experiences ever, let alone everything that's come on and guys that are coming back from 2020, 2021, 2022 to the paid content every single month. That's a testament to the success of the sharp plays. We've had some awful runs. Last December, awful. Last November at the end of the month into December, awful. January and February for TSP portfolio, awful. So that means end of November, December, January and February, all shitty. People are still there. They kept coming back. You know why? Because they trust in the long-term approach of this game. And because they had that faith, they've made money and they've turned a very good profit because of it. Because all the losses from November of last year, December, January, those have all been long erased and a ton of profit has been put on top. So if you took TSP Live or TSP Insiders on a selection-by-selection basis, a week-by-week basis, or a month-by-month basis, you'd probably be long gone. But if you came with the long-term approach of, I'm going to ride the winning months, I'm going to ride the losing months, and I'm going to make a profit, you've made a hell of a profit up to this point in 2025, and I look forward to more to come in the months ahead. So if that's why you wonder, you know, why the pricing is the way it is, whether it's TSP Live or TSP Insiders, that's it. It's a long-term approach. You're going to pay for losers, but you're going to pay for more winners than losers. You're going to make a profit. And the math really comes out to be, in that 20 selection example, if you're paying $35 a play, $34.99, that's $700 over 20 plays. If Wolf and Tony are expected to go an average of 12-8-ish at 57.3%. We can dial the math in a little bit better, but let's just say the three units there. You're going to make as a $500 better, $1,500. So yes, you're cutting in TSP Insiders for $700, but they did the work. They got you the plays that won. So they should get something from that, and they should get a healthy portion of it because they're the source of your profits. Just like if you gave me the $700 and I gave you back $1,500, $1,600, it's a pretty good deal. That's the way that this all shakes out. So in that 20-game selection sample, you gave $700 to TSP Live. Your bookie gave you $1,600 in profit, $500 times 3.2 units. You made $900 for doing very little. That's the math of this game. I hope you understand it. And if you don't, well, maybe one day you will, or you know, you'll be gone. And that's the thing about the sharp plays. We want quality over quantity. I'd rather have 100 subscribers that are awesome, get the business, no professional gambling, because they help me. They bring good content to the table to me, good ideas, and that's how the business grows. I'd rather have 100 of those types than 5,000 subscribers and 4,900 of them are idiots. So not saying the person today was an idiot by any means. I get where he's coming from. But the point is, that's why we do what we do. We're not here to sell to everybody. We're not here to make everybody happy. It's simple math, the way the pricing works. It's simple math, the way TSP Insiders works. It's simple math that we don't play the game of, well, that's a winning month, next month we cut this down, or that's a winning play, next play we do this. It's just what it is. And over time, over the long term, which is how your gambling should be, it nets out a profit. Speaking of profit, let's get back to it this week. It's been a 24-day cold run. It's time to break it. Let's get into the next hot run here. That's when we have all the fun. We can have a great November, hopefully carry it through December and into the new year, have a nice long run. So let's keep our fingers crossed for that, but let's bet smart in the process until that happens. And so cash those tickets. Good luck, and I'll see you back here next week with another exciting episode of the Go Fast and Win podcast, powered by the Sharp Plays and TSP.live. Last thing, don't forget to sign up for November TSP Live. It's up and available now, TSP.live. Click register, sign up, get November. It was a cold October. You know what's coming in November. Let's make it happen.